on down. Come on down. Come on in. Here we see. Well, good morning, guys. So what do you think? What do I have here? Apples. How many apples?
Three.
Tell me with something. If I have three apples and I give Josie one apple, how many apples do I have left?
Two.
Okay. If I have three apples and I give Masara two apples, how many do I have left?
One.
All right. If I have three apples and I give Emily three apples, how many do I have left?
Zero.
Zero. Okay. Let me see. Thanks for these apples. Well, sometimes it seems to me like life looks like this a little bit. Like we've only got three apples, and we're trying to figure out how are we going to divide up our apples. Because if I give her one, I only have two. If I give her two, I only have one. If I give away all of it, all three apples, then I've got nothing left. And that's not very good, because I really like apples, you know? Delicious. Do you like apples? I wish that we had, like, way more apples. That way we could all share, and we'd have, like, enough for everybody. But it seems like there's only three apples. So I don't really want to share the apples. Or if I do, I feel like I have less, and I don't feel very good about it. But you know what? Today's Pentecost Sunday. It's a Sunday when we're talking about how God is like the Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit comes down and comes into our lives, even yours and yours and yours. And God helps us to see that the Spirit is bigger than we thought. The Spirit of God is bigger and more than we thought. In fact, with God, we don't just have three apples. Instead, we've got a whole basket of apples. Whoa. And then when we have a whole basket of apples, it's easy to share. It's easy to give some away. It's easy to see that there's enough for everybody. That's how it is with God's Spirit. There's so much of God's Spirit, so much of God in our lives, that we can share it with other people, we can see it in other people, and we never have to feel alone, because God is always with us. Let's say a prayer, and I'm going to send you down to your classes today, okay? Let's pray. God, you are the Holy Spirit. We thank you for coming into our lives, into our families, into our church, into our city. Be with us, we pray. Help us to grow in all knowledge and love of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You're released to go downstairs to your classes. Put this right here. One apple.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning. Hey, Christian, can I join you?
Father Dia, can I help you?
Hey, well, the thing is, this Old Testament scripture, it's so fun, it's so interesting. I was wondering, could I get in on it with you?
Okay. Oh, no.
No, come on.
Because, listen, where's Judy Baldwin? Is she in church today?
Judy Baldwin? I don't know.
Yeah, because when she was signing me up, she didn't sign you up.
She didn't sign me up to read
this? No, she didn't sign you up. I'm the one she signed up for this thing.
Man.
You know, I'm supposed to be reading this, not you.
Think about the apples, Christian. Think about the apples. There's so much. There's room for me, too.
Pastor Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. You can join me.
Okay.
Our scripture reading today will be coming from Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 to 30. You will find this in the Pew Bible. Page 125, and the large print Bible, page 162, also projected. All right. So the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, an officer over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their place there with you. I will come down and talk with you there. I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them. And they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not bear it all by yourself.
And say to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. For you have wailed in the hearing of the Lord, saying, if only we had meat to eat. Surely it was better for us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not for just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and you have wailed before him, saying, "Why did we ever leave Egypt?"
But Moses said, "The people I am with number 600,000 on foot, and you say, 'I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month.' And are there enough flocks and herds to slaughter for them? Are there enough fish in the sea to catch for them?"
The Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true or not."
So Moses went out and told the people the words of the law. And he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. 2 men remained in the camp, one named Adad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp.
And a young man ran up and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them."
But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous of my sake? Would that be all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them?" And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand and join us in the middle hymn, Light the Fire. We're going to sing the first verse and chorus twice through in case it's not familiar to you. So feel free to join in whenever you're comfortable. I'll be doing the girls' echo.
It's so great to see you all dressed in red this morning. So many people who dress in red for Pentecost. But you know, if you're dressed in green this morning, you're doing okay as well. I just found out this weekend that in the Russian Orthodox Church, which Elena is her home tradition, that green is the color of Pentecost because it is creation's joyful response to the work of the Spirit. When the Spirit starts to work, we respond. So green, you're all right for Pentecost too. As we begin this day, let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it may seem strange to you here on this Pentecost Sunday not to have that traditional Pentecost story from Acts chapter 2 as our main preaching text. We heard a little bit of it this morning, didn't we, in various languages. The story of how they were all gathered together after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and how the Holy Spirit came rushing in and was like tongues of fire that was on each of their heads. And as these tongues of fire came in, they were given the ability, a new intention, a new way of speaking, of expressing themselves, of sharing about God's love in ways they hadn't before. And then everyone who gathered, who heard that word, they also started listening in ways that they had not before, hearing God's word of grace for them in a new way. And that's the miracle of Pentecost, isn't it? This speaking and hearing, the way that God's Spirit opens us up to something new and different, allows us to move in a new direction. Well, today we are looking at a different passage of Scripture here on this Pentecost Sunday. This one comes from the Old Testament book of Numbers. And the book of Numbers takes place while God's people, the Hebrew people, are out wandering in the wilderness. That's the backdrop of this story. You remember they had been enslaved in Egypt, and they had cried out to God, and God had saved them. God had sent Moses to take them out of slavery and into freedom, into new life in the wilderness. And that time in the wilderness is this time of testing. It's a time of challenge. It's a time of learning to trust in God rather than in themselves. And so that's the context of our story from the book of Numbers. The place of the wilderness is a place of scarcity. The question that hangs over every wilderness setting is this: is there enough? In the wilderness, that's what you wonder. Is there enough? Because it's a land of scarcity. That's the question that I want us to reflect on today as well. Is there enough? For the people in Moses' time, the question more specifically was, is there enough food? Because they were hungry. You know, God had been feeding them in the desert with manna, but manna is not very filling. It's enough to subsist, to survive, but it's not a way to flourish, and they were still hungry. So they started to complain. And Bible scholars call this the murmuring tradition. Maybe you can hear it even, the murmuring tradition. As they complained and murmured in the desert, they were so discontented walking along in that desert landscape. So the people were engaging a little bit of revisionist history. They were looking back and saying, Moses, why did you ever take us out of Egypt where we were so happy? Where we had as much as we could eat in the flesh pots of Egypt. There was plenty of food, all kinds of good things like fresh fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onion, and garlic. Sounds delicious. And now all we've got is manna. You can hear them singing as they march. Manna, manna everywhere, but there's no meat to eat. So Moses kept trying to remind them that back in Egypt they had been slaves. They had been abused, taken advantage of, and that God had graciously brought them out of Egypt. Yes, these times are hard, but isn't it so much better than what came before? Because manna is at least some subsistence for them. But they're not so sure that that's what they want, and Moses isn't so sure either. Because for him, it isn't about food, but it's a question of his own leadership. Is there enough, he wonders, inside of me to lead these people? Is there enough of God's Spirit in me to take these people where they need to go? Is there enough? And he turns to God and he kind of complains and says, God, why did you give me these people? Am I a mother that I gave birth to them, that I should suckle them like my child? It's in there, you can read it. And he says, they're such a burden. They're whining. They're crying. They're so heavy for me to carry. God, won't you help me? So Moses is essentially asking this same question. Is there enough? Is there enough of inside of me as a leader to bring these people where they've got to go? It's interesting, isn't it, to think about the toll, the burden that leadership places on people, on their lives. Anyone who's been in a position of leadership, of responsibility, with great expectations, you know it's a lot to ask. Sometimes you feel it. There have been studies that have looked at American presidents, and maybe you've heard this before, the way that American presidents age sort of unnaturally while they're in office. Just a few short years in office as a president, and you will look much older than when you came in. I wanted to show you, this picture is Bill Clinton. You remember, when he came into office, he was young, energetic. And then when he left, this is a pretty good picture, but there's another picture where he looks so tired out, and he's worn out, and he says, I'm done. I'm so tired. The burden of leadership. And the same thing was true with George W. Bush. You know, you see him, and there he is for 3 different years in office. He just got older and older, more and more tired. The burden of leadership and decisions was so heavy for him. And, you know, Pastor Chris and I, before we came to PPC not so long ago, I mean, there's actually a picture of us from before we got here. Maybe we can see that. There we are. Right before we came to Providence Presbyterian. You see what you've done? We were so happy. Well, when he started out, Moses, you see, was a young man. And he was a young man, like in Disney. But by the time we get to our story today in Numbers, he's now an older man. The way we picture Moses, that big beard, he's old, he's got his staff. And at this point, he's starting to wonder, do I have enough left in my tank? Do I have enough in me to really lead and guide these people? And this is such a helpful story for us today because we're asking the same question over and over again in our lives. Is there enough? Think about our relationships with the ones we love most. The question we sometimes ask is there enough love in this relationship to make it last? Do we have enough in us to pull through this difficult, hard time? Think about our families. Are there enough hours in the day to get through all the activities on our calendars? Is there enough time in my schedule to get my kids to all the activities they need to get to this summer? Is there enough drive and ambition in me to finish my PhD or to get my college degree or to apply to one more job? Is there enough or not? In a way, Jesus' friends on that first Pentecost Sunday were asking the same question. Because Jesus had been with them, had walked with them, talked with them, taught them. It had been great. And then when he died and rose and went away to heaven, they were left alone. Jesus wasn't with them anymore, and they wondered, will there be enough? Are these memories and stories and teachings of Jesus, is this going to be enough to sustain us for our lives? Is this going to be enough for us to pass on this news to our children or our grandchildren? Is this going to be enough for us to reach out and affect our community, for us to make a difference in the world? Is there enough? And then it's into these deep questions and concerns that the Holy Spirit flows. The Spirit comes in and fills them up, and they begin doing things they never would have or could have done on their own. They start talking and sharing and living life in this joyful way that just exudes out from their church into their community. It spills over, and suddenly it's no longer that there's not enough, but there's plenty. There is enough. On our own strength and our own goodness and our own cleverness, we're never enough. But when we have God's Spirit on us, working in us and through us, suddenly we realize that with God, there's more than enough. With God, there's more than enough. Amen? Amen? On our own, we're not enough. We're falling, we're failed, we flail around. Yet with God's Spirit, there's more than enough. You know, Moses was getting tired out. He had so much work to do, so much to deal with these truculent people. And so he wanted to know if God would help him. He was leading them, ministering to them every day. And so he cries out to God and says, God, help me out. And maybe he's thinking he'll get an easier assignment, you know, something else to do. Or maybe he thinks God will come and do Moses' work for him, you know, zap a few people. There's a place for thunderbolts and lightning bolts. And then bring everyone into the promised land just like that. But God doesn't work that way. Instead, God says, call together 70 of the elders of the people. 70 people with gifts for leadership, who have something to, who are able to serve, who have something inside of them. Call them together. And I'm going to take some of the spirit that is on you, Moses, and I'm going to put it on them. God says, you cannot do it all on your own, but there is enough of my spirit to go around. So that's what happens. God shares the spirit with these 70 elders who step into a whole new role as spiritual leaders of the people. And this is a great passage for us today, of course, because we're ordaining and installing new church officers, elders and deacons, people who are stepping forward to say yes to the calling that God is putting on their life, to be part of the ministry and leadership of our church. So, Kwame, Mark, oh, hi, there you are. Mark, where are you at? Mark's upstairs with the baby. Chris? Oh, he's up there. Chris O'Fay, hey there. This is a passage for you. This is a passage directly for you today. It's about you are those elders whose the Spirit is being put on you in a special way, and we as your community, we're acknowledging that. We're blessing you. We're praying for you. We're welcoming you into the shared ministry in this place. You know, you're joining with all sorts of people in our church who play these roles, be they elders or deacons, be they Sunday school teachers or leaders in our mission and outreach activities, be they people who sing or who play, people who set up coffee hour or do any of the myriad of tasks around the church. You are also in leadership with us. You know, it's not enough for Pastor Chris and me just to be running around. We used to be so young, and now we're not. But our role, our pastoral role, is to recognize in you the spirit that God has put in you and to help you see that for yourself. And then, as a church body, we offer opportunities for you to start living into that spirit, living out those gifts, to put what God has put inside of you into action, faith in action. Here in our church, and also in our community. So this is a story about God's Spirit being enough, not only for Moses, but also for a broad set of leaders, of people who are being raised up to guide the people. But you know, there's more to the story. And this is where I just want to end today. We're getting a little Pentecostal. We're 10 minutes after the hour, but stay with me for a minute. This is where I want to bring us today. The end of this story is that while Moses and those elders, all those people who are leading, they're all out at the tent of meeting, outside the camp, and they're prophesying and doing their thing. But then back in the camp, there are these two guys, and their names are Eldad and Medad, and you know them. They're the ones who always come in 15 minutes late to church. Do you know anyone like that? They're the ones who sit in the back as far away from the pulpit as they can get. They're the ones who avert their eyes when Pastor Chris looks over at them. They're the ones who slip out the side when I try and greet them after the service. Eldad and Medad, maybe you have a little of that inside of you as well. And they're there. And strangely, surprisingly, suddenly, the Spirit of God falls on them too. Not just with those elders who are out at the camp with Moses, but with Eldad and Medad. And they start to prophesy. They start to show spiritual gifts in their life and to live out their calling. So this is the message of Pentecost, that there is enough of God's Spirit to go around, not just for Moses or the leaders, not just for the elders or that broad set of people, but for everyone. God's Spirit is enough for you. In fact, it's filling you up. It's inside of you. And the question is, will you also respond in how you live? In how you love, in the forgiveness you share, in the grace you show, in the ways that you open your eyes and your ears on this Pentecost Sunday to what God might be speaking to you and into your life this day. On our own, there is never enough, but with God's Spirit, there's more than enough. Amen? On our own, we are never enough, clever enough, We are not good enough. We can't do it on our own. But with God in Christ, who comes in the Holy Spirit to sustain us and stay with us, we are more than enough. Alleluia. Amen.
Prayers are with Beatrice, who will be going to the hospital right now. So Esther is accompanying her. She's okay. And it's a perfect illustration of Dave's service that there are three medical technicians from our congregation attending her at this time. So let us have a word of prayer before we head into officer ordination and installation. Gracious God, we give thanks for your spirit and the way that you minister in and through us, and we pray for Beatrice in this moment. We pray for your strength to be with her and her family as she goes into this time, and we thank you for the strength that she shows and who she is and her faith in you. Be with her, we pray, and all of us as we go forth, always in your spirit and by your power alone. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We would like to call forward those who are to be ordained and installed to come forward at this time. We will be missing Esther and also Ed Fitzpatrick, but we would call forward our persons to be ordained, Kwame and Chris and Mark. And Mark will be bringing children with him as he is solo parenting, which is a real, real key here. All right, and also we would like to call forward Dorothea, who is being reinstalled as a deacon, to join us as well up here and answer the questions. The reality of this congregation is that many of us are serving with young children in tow these days.
Mm-hmm.
So Lucy's going to help Mark be ordained as well. There are different gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through different people in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves God's purposes through them all. Each one is given a gift of the Spirit to use it for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ and individually members of Him. Though we have different gifts, together we are a ministry of reconciliation led by the risen Christ. We work and pray to make His church useful in the world, and we call women and men to faith so that in the end every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Within our common ministry, some members are chosen for particular work as ministers of word, ruling elders, or deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries, remembering our Lord Jesus who said, "Whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of all, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the servant of all people." Jesus, as God's Son, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free.
Speaking for the people of the church, I bring to be ordained Kwame Jempo and Mark Weber as elders, and Christopher O'Fay as deacon, and to be installed Ed Fitzpatrick and Esther Sowa in absentia, or Esther Sowa Fumbawa, I'm sorry, and Dorothy Lusignan as deacon.
Chris, Dorothea, Kwame, and Mark, God has called you to service through the voice of the church, and you're called into service in a special way today. You know who we are and what we believe, and you know what our ministry is all about, and now you are saying yes to being a part of a special kind of leadership within our community of faith. Please show your intention and desire to be installed and ordained by answering the following questions. Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, acknowledge Him as Lord and Head of the Church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you?
Do you accept the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament to be by the Holy Spirit the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church universal and God's Word to you? Do you?
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of the Church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you?
Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you?
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you?
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you?
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will
you? This is a question for just the elders. Will you, Kwame and Mark, be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in the governing bodies of this church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
And for our deacons, Chris and Dorothea, will you be faithful deacons, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministries, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
And this question is for the congregation. Do we, the members of this congregation, accept Ed, Kwame, and Mark as elders, and Esther, Dorothea, and Chris as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation, to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do we encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow them as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? If so, say we do.
We do.
I want to invite all in this congregation who have previously been ordained as an elder or a deacon or a minister of word and sacrament to come forward as we pray for these elders and deacons. Come forward if you've been ordained previously in this church or another congregation. And you guys huddle up in here.
Okay, you guys need to be.
You three, but you've been ordained, so you'll be.
You can help lay hands on from the front, these guys.
Kwame, Chris, and Mark. Kwame, Chris, and Mark. Get a little electricity. More coming. Come on down there, Chuck and Milton.
Yes.
Blow that out, John.
Watch the flame.
Okay. Let us pray. Almighty God, in every age, you have chosen people to lead your people. God of grace, who calls us to common ministry as ambassadors of Christ, trusting us with the ministry of reconciliation, give us courage, we pray, and discipline to follow where your servants rightly lead us, so that together we may declare your wonderful gifts and show your love for the world. We thank you for these who you have called to serve you, for Mark, for Chris, and for Kwame. Fill them with a measure of your Holy Spirit, that they may serve you with energy and love. Bring forth their gifts, that they may bless our community. Through them, bless the ministry and mission of this congregation and church and into the wider world. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom we give all glory and honor. Amen.
Amen. You are now elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through him. Serve in peace, and may the love and the support and the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you always, those who are newly ordained and those who continue in service on our behalf. Thanks be to God for God's amazing, wonderful love. Amen.
Amen. And welcome.
And welcome.
Time to gather our hearts, our pocketbooks, our checkbook, and it's time to give to the Lord abundantly as he freely gave to you through the week. You should freely give to him. It's time for the tithe offering.
All right, we're going to sing this song in both English and Chi. So please follow us wherever you feel comfortable. We're going to start with the Chi and also move on to the English translation. Oh, Nyang Ko Pong. Oh, Nyang.
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
Blessed those who had and give. Blessed those who didn't have but want to give, Heavenly Father. Bless each and every one of us in this house. Bless our hands, Father God. Accept this offering from our hearts and from our hands. You have blessed us through the week, so Lord, we are giving back. Increase us financially in this house. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Please remain standing for our final hymn today. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. God, is there enough in your life? This may be a question you're asking this morning. Is there enough? Hear again the Pentecostal word to you. With God's Spirit abundantly alive, there is more than enough. Amen?
Amen.
Now go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen. Yes.